77 WABC and Bergen Newbridge Medical Center honor the life of legendary broadcaster and our friend, Ernie Anastas.
Hi, it's Ernie Anastas. You know, your thoughts can affect how you feel. Bergen Newbridge Medical Center is the largest hospital in New Jersey, providing comprehensive, equitable, compassionate, and high-quality emergency inpatient and outpatient medical care, plus mental health services and substance use disorder treatment. The Bergen Newbridge team can address your total health needs in one convenient location. Call 201-225-7130 for an appointment or newbridgehealth.org.
It's the Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
The Other Side of Midnight. I'm Frank Morano. Well, how many people can you name whose deaths have literally changed the world? You think of a handful, certainly someone like Joan of Arc, certainly someone like Jesus Christ. A lot of people would say maybe John F. Kennedy. And I think if you're making a list of five names or 10 names, the name that's got to be near the top is George Floyd. George Floyd, whatever you might think about him, his death has totally changed the course of American history. It's been 3 years since he died, but a lot of people are still talking about him. They're still making movements in his name. They are still debating his legacy. And one of the people that knew George Floyd, unlike almost everybody else on the planet who only knew George Floyd posthumously, one of the folks that knew him very well while he was alive is Selwyn Jones. He's the co-founder of the Hope 929 Foundation, the charity focused on promoting civil rights and creating change in honor of his nephew, George Floyd. Selwyn, thanks so much for staying up late with me on the radio.
Thank you, Mr. Frank. I'm in South Dakota, so we're good. We're good.
I appreciate it. So, as I mentioned, a lot of us, all of us listening to this program right now, we didn't know your nephew when he was alive. We knew him as a symbol. We saw that horrible videotape. We knew him in death. Tell us about what he was like as a person, what he was like while he was alive.
George was just a big, jolly man, basically just a big, jolly, happy person that did not achieve the things that most people don't achieve, which is great success in athletics. And he just settled into just being that guy, you know, always happy, always smiling. Was a good community man. You know, he taught the boys in Third Ward, Texas, where he come from, H-Town, shout out, how to play ball. And, you know, and was being a good guy. But with all people in this world, we all have something that we can probably put our heads in the sand for. So was he perfect? No. But he had a great heart, a great soul, a big smile. He just made bad choices from time to time, like most of us do.
Well, one thing I'm very curious to get your opinion about, and I've asked a lot of people this, and I've never really gotten an answer to my satisfaction, is if you look at other police-involved deaths of black men and just black people in general, whether we're talking Michael Brown, whether we're talking someone like Freddie Gray, whether we're talking someone like, Eric Garner. There was people on both sides of that issue. You had people saying, all right, the cops acted appropriately. No, they didn't. And they would debate it and you could fight it out. With your nephew, George Floyd, after that videotape of Derek Chauvin's knee on his neck was released, I don't think there was anybody that thought Derek Chauvin had a leg to stand on legally, morally, ethically. Donald Trump, Rudy Giuliani, they all rushed to say that based on what they saw in that videotape, Derek Chauvin murdered George Floyd. Why then, given the universal condemnation from all quarters of the country, why then did your nephew's death become sort of the death that ignited a revolution?
Frank, for 400+ years, black men, people of color, have been literally getting lynched, hung, devastated, all about power and control. And what we saw that day is we saw a young man that went from laughing, dancing in the store, to begging, crying, and dying because of $19.10. What we saw is a young lady, Darnella Frazier, that had the heart and the strength to and the courage to stand there and videotape three grown men that are supposed to protect and serve totally take the breath out of my nephew's body second by second. And all of the people in the world that might have thought one way or might have felt the other way had an opportunity to watch a man go from screaming, hollering, crying, and dying all in a matter of minutes. When you focus on television, and that video was probably played 10,000 times in the first 3 or 4 days, you saw and you knew that that particular individual was not going to get up, and his name was George Floyd. So the whole world for 3 days came into unity, and everybody hollered my big sister's baby boy's name because they, the world, was not going to let this travesty slip through the gaps like most travesties have. You know, Eric Gardner, it slipped through the cracks. You know, so this was the first opportunity for people to actually see a lynching, a murder with their own eyes, and they sat there and they had the time, the opportunity to watch over and over and over again. So no matter what you feel about the myths, the things that you've heard in your life about how black people are, how police are, you saw four people participate in a modern-day lynching, a modern-day murder, a modern-day taking a man's life because of what reason? He did everything that he was told to do. He asked to lay down on the ground to get murdered by these people that were supposed to protect and serve him, Frank.
If people just tuning in, we're talking with Selwyn Jones. He's the co-founder of the Hope 929 Foundation. You can check out their website, hope929.org. He's also the uncle of George Floyd. Selwyn, let me ask you about a theory that I heard a great deal of in the aftermath of your nephew's death, but I haven't heard very much over the last 3 years. And that has to do with a club where both Derek Chauvin and your nephew reportedly worked.
Do you want to go to the Congo?
Well,
do you
want tell me.
To the Congo?
Tell me. Give me the straight dope.
Frank,
because tell
Frank,
me what happened.
Frank. I visited my nephew in 2.5 years, probably 27 times, because I knew that he needed me from time to time. I gathered that from the sound of his voice. When you know somebody is in need, you show people how you feel about them or how you treat them. And I loved my nephew, so it was nothing for me to jump in the car and go to Minneapolis to see how big Floyd was. And I have been to the Congo Club. I find it hard to believe. There's a lot of theories, a lot of thoughts. And all I'm saying is this, Frank. My nephew had the same vigor that I had. I can't go into a store in Timbuktu and not know everybody in the store before I leave out of the store. There's no way that he worked on the outside of the store, Derek Chauvin, and my nephew had to come through the parking lot indoors and work inside that club for 3 years and them not know each other. So that's a myth.
You,
I've met Derek Chauvin.
So just to be clear, you believe that Derek Chauvin and George Floyd knew one another?
Frank, did you miss something there? There's no way that I could work in a place with anybody for a day and not know everybody in the place, let alone 3 years. So I've met Derek Chauvin before. I've said, hello, my man, what's going on with you? And I went to the club probably 7 times and hung out with George. So it would be safe to say that they knew each other. How good they knew each other, I'm not really willing to say, but I knew that they knew each other.
Well, do you think, given the fact that they did know one another, do you think that there's a chance that this murder was premeditated?
Frank, all I'm going to say is this. You look at the eyes. And I tell people this all the time, Frank. Go back and look through lynching photos and look at the eyes of the madman that's standing there beside a line of people of color hanging on that line, and look at the eyes. Look at the eyes of a hunter when they get that big game. They have that glazed over look in their eyes, like, yeah, I got him. You could tell from the very beginning that was personal, Frank, because nobody takes the time and continuously takes the air from one's life in the way that he did. He kept rolling his knee around his neck. He had that sadistic smile on his face, like, yeah, I got you now, big boy. You're all mine. And there was not one possible chance of my nephew surviving that attack.
Did you know that St. Luke's University Health Network, based in the Lehigh Valley, Pennsylvania, has been recognized by the U.S. government as the highest performing health system in the United States for quality? You heard right. St. Luke's number one recognition affirms our status as the top leader among the most respected healthcare providers in the nation, including Houston Methodist and the Mayo Clinic. To state it simply, if you want to receive the best care when you go to a hospital, come to St. Luke's.
Now at McDonald's, a McDouble is only $2.50. So you can get your gym games on or just get lunch for only $2.50. Get more value on the under $3 menu.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. No, I mean, I think anybody that saw that video sees how brutal and cold-blooded it was. Talking with Selwyn Jones, co-founder of the Hope 929 Foundation. Selwyn, one of the things that you're doing, a lot of the work that you're doing, positive as it may be, you say it's being done in honor of your nephew, George Floyd. One of the things that you're working on is creating a George Floyd Forever Day on May 25th. There's a lot of folks that may agree that your nephew was brutally murdered, but they will also look at some aspects of your nephew's life. You mentioned some of the poor decisions that he's made, and a lot of folks will point out, you know, that he served 8 jail terms on various charges, and including drug possession, theft, trespassing, and that, you know, he faced charges for aggravated robbery. And they might say it's terrible that he was murdered, but given that he had such a troubled history with the law, is this someone that should really be honored in death? What do you say to that, Selwyn?
Frank, tell me someone that hasn't been in a bad situation. Hold on, wait. If Malcolm X was 21 years old, Malcolm X wasn't an activist. Malcolm X, I think, was a pimp. Maya Angelou did not become the real Maya Angelou until later in her life. So everybody has miscues in life. It's not how you enter the storm, it's how you go through the storm. And any personal thing that he went through in his life was a challenge. Mental health is a big deal in this world, man, and most people didn't realize that. But if you're going to tell me because he served his time to society, because he made some mistakes, that he should have been laid in the street, the last I heard, Frank...
Oh. Yeah, of course not.
The last I heard, Frank, forgery or passing over a counterfeit bill was a misdemeanor. When did it become a death sentence?
No, of course not.
So that's exactly what he got, over $19 and 100 pennies, Frank.
There's been a lot of criticism about some of the protests and in some cases some of the riots that have taken place over the last 3 years, sometimes in your nephew's name, sometimes while rioters are even holding photos of your nephew. How do you feel about violence taking place in your nephew's name, groups rioting, committing vandalism, spray painting police stations, attacking federal buildings? I mean, do you think that takes away at all from what could have been seen as a very positive, peaceful reform movement?
You know, Frank, in every pack, there's a bad, there's a stray animal. And there's a lot of human beings, a lot of people of all colors that took advantage of a brutal situation and made it uglier in some of their actions. I don't believe in vandalism. I don't believe in spray painting police cars. I don't believe in any destructions that were made. But for 3 days, Frank, we saw four people that were walking around on the street like it was a everyday, it was just another day, that was walking around that we all seen murdered my nephew. So people handle things in a different way. And a lot of people were fed up with what's been going on in America as far as people of color. So do I understand the peaceful protest and protesting? Yes, because we all knew that Derek Chauvin was guilty. We all knew that if he got an innocent verdict, you wouldn't have wanted to have been any place around here, because these people would have went absolutely berserk, because you knew it was wrong. And 8.5 billion other people knew it was wrong.
To be clear, I'm not talking about the peaceful protests at all. Violent ones.
The ugly ones. For those that took their time to disrespect my nephew's life and how he died to give us an opportunity to have these conversations, shame on them.
Mm-hmm.
Shame, because that wasn't needed. And people are talking about defunding the police. I do believe in defunding the police and stop buying more guns, and let's get more counselors. Let's get more counseling for the police. Because, hey, we need them. And there's a lot of great police officers. There's a lot of great civil workers. But then there's that one or two, like I said, that pack. You're always going to have some strays. And those strays are the one that make this big impact. The murdering of innocent human beings because of a DUI stop or because of a tail light out. Because of any minuscule situation that they have an opportunity to pull their gun and show their power and control. That's just as bad as peaceful. I mean, people destroying other people's properties and destroying other people's lives, man. It's just bad on bad. Right?
No question about it. That leads me to the next thing I was going to ask you about, the defund the police movement. A lot of people view the defund the police movement as being counterproductive. And a lot of minorities who live in very tough neighborhoods that are afraid of gun violence, a lot of them view the defund the police movement as counterproductive. And I'm thinking also of Shivanti Sathandian, who is a politician in Minnesota, who called for the dismantling of the police. And then she was violently carjacked by four very young men, all carrying guns. And she's demanding that these people be arrested and prosecuted, as I would. And a lot of folks are saying, well, the defund the police movement seems inconsistent with the movement to keep to hold violent criminals accountable. Do you view it as inconsistent at all?
That is absolutely insane to talk about deband the police. Oh my God, man. If you debanded the police as much violent and as much mental health issues as we have running in this world, it would be like the old Wild West, man. It's already like the Wild West in certain areas in this world, man. So, you know, we need counseling. We need the police counseling. We need some kind of security guard effort, nurse for wellness checks, Because if you were in a mental crisis, you don't have to be in a mental crisis, Frank. And you see the police, the gun, that star, all of his equipment, and you get anxiety. Suppose you were having a mental health crisis, and you saw them. The first thing comes in your brain: "Oh my God, I'm gonna get hurt." So a lot of times, people harm themselves by what they think could potentially happen. So there's no such thing as defund the police. I think it's re-regulate the police.
What do you think?
Educate the police.
What do you think can be done to improve police-community relations, to create a situation where violent carjackers and bad guys get arrested, but people don't resent or fear the police in certain communities? What would you do if you were in charge of police-community relations?
You know what, man? That's a stigma in certain areas because the police have not been kind in certain areas, the ghettos, lower-income areas. But, you know, man, our foundation, we have several educational programs, several community events where we're going to invite the police and have the police with us, around us, to socialize and communicate with the neighbors, with communities, man, because you know what? It's going to be hard for certain people to accept the fact that police, they're around me. So I've got to be at this certain way. But if you're not doing anything wrong, you should have nothing to fear. It's just like lying, Frank. When you start lying, you got to keep lying. But telling the truth is pretty easy. You know what I'm saying? So you don't have to stutter or rebuttal yourself.
That's true.
So, that, you know, man? So that's the reason why I tell people all the time, man, I should hate the police more than anybody in the world. Honestly, because four of them murdered my nephew in the middle of the street. But I know that that isn't all the police. That is 2%, 1% of the police. And the other 97 or 98%, they do good. They help us. They keep carjackers from robbing old women. They keep people from getting their purse taken. They keep people from going into your house and violating you.
Some follow the noise. Bloomberg follows the money. Because behind every headline is a bottom line. Whether it's the funds fueling AI or crypto's trillion-dollar swings, there's a money side to every story. And when you see the money side, you understand what others miss. Get the money side of the story. Subscribe now at Bloomberg.com.
Selwyn, and with people just tuning in, we're talking with Selwyn Jones. His group is the Hope 929 Foundation. You can check out their website, hope929.org. Selwyn, we're just about out of time, and I hope you'll come back. I love your energy.
I will, man.
Passion.
I will.
I have to ask you about this, though, Selwyn, because people are going to give me a hard time if I don't ask you about it, and I hope you're not going to get mad at me for bringing it up. But
let me have it.
Okay. So, obviously, you've been through a tough time the last 3 years. Your family's been through a tough time the last 3 years. A lot of folks are going to point to your recent arrest this past spring on drug charges related to an overdose at a mm-hmm. motel. I'm wondering if you can just explain the circumstances that led to that arrest.
What I can tell you is this, Frank, it's a ongoing investigation. We are still in litigation, but there was something that should not have been in somebody's cup that somebody devoured, and all the rest, everybody knows that I was put in a horrendous situation because of the hatred. Now, I always love this particular situation. It's so true. The devil comes chasing after you when you're doing good, but when you're doing bad, he leaves you alone. Frank, I live in a town of 1,200 people. I've got Confederate flags in my town. I've had people to write racial epitaphs on side of a building, FUNIGGER. I've had people to write memes, and I had a particular day that someone I thought was a friend of mine decided that they were not so friendly with me. And like I said, it's we're going through court, and at the end of the day, that'll be taken care of, and I will be vindicated in the way that I am, because, buddy, I've spent 3 years of only trying to do good, and I've seen what happens in reckless situations, and I have not been reckless. The only thing I've been is constructive and not destructive, and everybody will soon find that out, and Uncle Selwyn will go on and fulfilling his right to make a difference in this world. Hey, man, everybody can always join me on Setting It Straight with Selwyn. We're on every podcast. That's a network.
That's great. You could search the any podcast app, and it's give me the podcast name again if people want to search it.
It's Setting It Straight with Selwyn, man.
Setting It Straight with Selwyn. Last question, Selwyn. In many cases, not necessarily talking about your nephew, but you know, in a lot of cases around the country, probably around the world, people die in police custody during arrests, while on drugs, and while resisting arrests. Do you think far more people would be alive today if part of your group's message was drug,
medical,
abstinence, and complying with police when you're arrested?
Yeah, Frank, but there's one more thing we need to have. We have a bill that we're representing called the Medical Civil Rights Bill. And pretty much what that bill entails is in any contact with a police officer, a security guard, a college guard, if you are you in interaction with them and you say, my chest hurt or my stomach hurts, they have to immediately get you medical assistance instead of letting you go 10 minutes without medical assistance, letting you bleed out, choking you to death. So once you acknowledge that you're in pain, they have to subdue you and then give you medical assistance. A lot of people die in custody, in jails, in prisons, than they do by interactions with police officers at traffic stops. So, you know, it's a whole plethora of bad decisions, bad situations, and there's a lot of people, Frank, that won't be home for Christmas because somebody decided that they were not going to let them survive.
Selwyn, we're going to have to end it there. I really appreciate the time. I hope you'll come on again.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you, brother.
Thank you. If you want to comment on any portion of our conversation, you're welcome to give me a call, 800-848-9222. 800-848-9222. This is The Other Side of Midnight, straight ahead.
The Other Side of Midnight.